This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The hottest divas. Joy 94.9.
That's right. You're with Joy. You're with Lefty Pinkos. It's Kath Duncan here again and Brian Andy in the hot seat. 8 o'clock here on Joy.
Oh, you love a time check, don't you?
I do. I love telling the time. It's what radio is all about. It's just the little bits between telling the time that are important. Now, look, Lefty Pinkos, we're a fairly new show. This is our third outing.
It is, yeah.
And, you know, you should always assume there could be one new listener who's never heard you before.
I like to think that, yes.
So,
hi out there.
Hi, new listener. So, you know, I'm one of those people who goes along the streets of Melbourne in a scooter and pretends that you're not there. I'm armless, legless, absolute wonder. That's how I'm going to describe myself this week. Next week it could be something else. But Lefty Pinkos, it's all about sort of going beneath the story.
That's right. And I just want to kind of make a bit of an announcement, actually. Kath, my co-host here, celebrated a birthday just recently. So I
know.
Just want to kind of give you a bit of a shout out, Kath.
Yeah, thank you.
On the airwaves. I don't know if you want to talk about that. But
no, not at all.
Actually, you went away though, didn't you?
Yeah, I went off to the Grampians, just got back today.
First time, yeah.
And these days it's called, I don't know if I've got the pronunciation quite right, but it's Garrawood.
Garrawood, yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And that's the kind of Indigenous name for it that people are now calling it. But amazing. Takes up this great big hand thing across Victoria. Just amazed me to go there. And it's huge. Just these rocks, you just got to go there. Sorry, I'm not a Victorian originally, so I'm still very excited about the whole thing.
No, it's an amazing place to Grampian. So, yeah, if you can get up there, definitely do so. But nice kind of, yeah, talk about Aboriginal stuff in terms of Grampians. What have we got on this week, Kath?
Well, look, we're very excited tonight. Dan DeCrew joins us. Now, Dan, you know, surfer, writer, he's a historian, but he told me he doesn't want to be known as a historian, but he sort of is. It's like the snappy way of describing him.
Yeah.
But basically, he does quite complex sort of historical projects involving lots of stakeholders, specifically Indigenous people, and everyone knows that sort of work's very complex.
It is, yeah, totally. I mean, it's like, yeah, we'll bring him in to have a bit of a chat about what he's doing around Fitzroy on the land of the Wurundjeries. And, yeah, it's a pretty complex thing, you know. A lot of people have interpretations on history, as do many people in the Aboriginal community. And so Dan's going to come in and talk about, I guess, the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy and about, you know, how he sort of gets to this end, because he's going to be launching a website and a mobile app later on this week that we'll get him to chat about. But I guess just I'd like to actually kind of, because we're going to be talking about Aboriginal content, I just want to kind of acknowledge the traditional owners on whose land we're meeting. Oh, we're kind of broadcasting from, rather. Mm. I feel like I'm in a lectern. But yeah, we're actually broadcasting from the land of the Wurundjeri. And I just want to kind of pay my respects to those people. I'd also like to pay my respects to the broader Kulin Nation, those people of the Bunurong, the Wathaurong, the Jarjarong, the Tanarong, and, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, there were injuries. So I just want to kind of pay my respects to those people and their elders and actually just sort of have a bit of a confession. I lied last week. I said that the wonderful Dick...
he would love that.
Oh, that's a Freudian Oops. Slip. The wonderful Nick Demopoulos is what I'm
well
trying
said.
To
well
say.
Said. He could laugh out of that.
Yeah, he was... Yeah, I said that he was going to come in, but I lied, people, and I do apologise for that. I got all wet about the thought of him coming in last week. Kath was kind of waxing lyrical.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
And
but
yeah.
You know, I'm even more excited about Dan DeCrew.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, while we're talking about, you know, the housework at the beginning of the program, there will be some sort of input from Indigenous people who are no longer with us. So just a warning for everyone out there, we will be playing people who aren't with us anymore.
That's right. So we kind of just make you aware of that. But I guess, yeah, in failing to bring Nick in this week, I just want to give him a little plug. He's actually going to be presenting John Homer Social post Anzac Day on Friday, the 26th of April from 10 p.m. At New Guernica, which is a club in Melbourne. Just sort of give him a bit of a plug. But we're going to bring him in on the 30th of April after that particular event. And we're going to talk about Trough and I guess how John went. So, but as Kath mentioned, we're going to play some music. And I've thought about what we're doing this week in terms of the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy. And I thought I'm going to line up a few songs from Aboriginal artists about the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy. It's sort of appropriate. So I'd like to kick off and with the wonderful Ruby Hunter, and this is her presenting a song that's by Archie Roach with the Australian Art Orchestra, and this is the woman that Kath was speaking about. Understand that you're listening to people who are now deceased in respect and memories.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, yes, the irreplaceable Ruby Hunter. There with the Australian Art Orchestra, her version of Down City Streets. It's 12 past 8. You're with Joy. You're getting all lefty pinko-y with Kath and Brian. And we welcome into the studio surfer, writer, and he doesn't want to be known as a historian, but that's sort of what he does, Dan DeCrew. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Kath. Thanks for having me on the show, and my respects to the Wurundjeri on whose land we're meeting today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan, yes.
Now, should we start there, Brian?
Yeah, I guess.
With that project. Because if you've wandered through Fitzroy, and there should be no Melbourne person alive who doesn't just adore Fitzroy and want to spend every moment of every waking day there. Well, that's how I feel about the place. But if you've walked along, you'll also notice these plaques that have only been up since...
About 2009.
Hmm. And the plaques are part of Dan's project. Tell us how this project started.
Okay, well, I guess it's building upon a series of projects that have been done that are trying to sort of create a stronger presence of Indigenous history and culture and a sense of that in Fitzroy. I mean, anyone who walks down Gertrude Street today, as you'll know, will probably not actually realise that the significance of the street, you know, and all the amazing things that have happened there over the years. I mean, it's the birthplace for the fight for civil rights, and so many Aboriginal controlled organisations were brought up there. There are just so many amazing things that have happened in that area over the last 100 years or so. And of course, now it's boutique clothes shops and cafes and that kind of thing. So it's trying to increase the presence of that history and that culture in the street.
For those who maybe don't know the street so well, can you talk about why people gravitated there in particular? Like, Fitzroy's the oldest suburb, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Melbourne's first suburb. Yeah.
Mm. So what was it about Fitzroy that attracted Indigenous folk?
I think it was because it was actually where the land was cheapest at the time and where other people didn't want to go. So it was considered a dangerous area sort of back in the day, and a sort of, you know, there were a lot of shanty houses, I believe, that went up at the time. And of course, there's the big high rise there now, public high rise there in Fitzroy. And before that went up, which is in, I think, the 50s or so, there was a thing called the Slum Reclamation Act, which saw a whole range of houses through that area bulldozed. People were sort of evicted from their houses, and there were a lot of Aboriginal people who lost housing at that time who were not housed in the high rise when it went up.
And I guess prior to that too, there's a kind of like a 1901 or around about the time of the White Australia Act, there was a big movement within Victoria. Well, each state actually defined their jurisdiction when it came to their Aboriginal populations, and in Victoria in the early 1900s they actually passed this law in Parliament called the Half-Caste Act, which basically meant that anybody that was living on an Aboriginal reserve or mission throughout the state of Victoria had to basically get off, unless you were a full-blooded Aboriginal person, you had to basically get off the mission and the reserve, which was, I guess, often on their traditional lands, but also, I guess, yeah, kind of a place of support. And so people fled to Fitzroy because it was cheap accommodation, as Dan mentioned. It was a place where people could, I guess, live cheaply, get a job because they had to basically, you know, look after themselves. And so that's kind of how, the influx of Aboriginal people came to Fitzroy too, part of the story.
It's interesting you mentioned the White Australia policy. That came in 1901, and that came in, funnily enough, the same year that Australian Parliament opened at the end of Gertrude Street in the exhibition building there, Carlton Gardens.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think there were 14,000 people in attendance, and no Aboriginal people were invited to attend the ceremony.
And that's, I guess, in terms of the plaque project, Dan. What's the plaque down there at the end of Gertrude Street?
So the first plaque on the walk, it's a self-guided walking tour. There are, I think, 16 plaques along the street, and you can get a little map or you can download it off the net, which guides you from spot to spot down the street. But the first site is the Moreton Bay Fig Tree, and which is right near the exhibition building where Parliament first opened. And I think it was during the 1920s, people like Pastor Sir Doug Nicholls, he wasn't knighted then, so Pastor yep. Doug Nicholls, used to organise public meetings, I guess, under the fig tree. And the reason they did that was because they were forbade from having public meetings in the boarding houses where a lot of people were living at the time. So he started up this political and social movement down there, really close to where Parliament had started, and started sort of advocating for the rights of his people.
Wow, and that's appropriate. That's the first point of call in the walk.
Yeah.
So I was reading through the different sort of places that you can go through, and I was looking. There was also the pub. Tell us a bit about the pub in Gertrude Street.
Well, there were several pubs back in the day. Some of them have disappeared altogether now. But of course, there was the Champion Hotel, which Archie Roach sings about. You know, famously, I think it's the place where he met his brother for the first time, having been part of the Stolen Generations. But the one that's mentioned in this walk is the Builder's Arms.
Yeah. And what was significant about that?
It was just considered the Black Pub of Melbourne. So everyone used to go there. There was, you know, Pastor Sir Doug or Pastor Doug Nicholls had his Church of Christ down on Gore Street, just a couple of blocks away. And then for those who maybe weren't partaking in that or sort of, you know, wanted to have...
Weren't into church, which is understandable.
Yeah. Totally, you know, and wanted to have a social drink. You'd go up to the Builders, and that was considered, the black pub of Melbourne. And I've heard some wild stories from back in the day, probably more from the 60s and 70s, I think, of stuff that used to happen.
Oh, tell us one.
Actually, I'd like to, maybe just cut to some commercials before we get into that. If you've tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. This is Brian and Kath, and we're joined by Dan DeCrew, who is talking about the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy. We'll be back just after these short announcements. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Brian here with Kath, with Lefty Pinkos, and we're chatting to Dan DeCrew.
We sure are.
About the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy, and he mentioned the Builder's Arms pub, which was known as the Black Pub of Melbourne. Now, Dan, you understand the Black Panthers came to town, yeah?
Really?
Yes.
And went there?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Muhammad Ali, I don't know if that... Did it all happen at the same around the same time?
Wow. In the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that Muhammad Ali came down there and caused a massive traffic jam because word just spread through the suburb that he was in Gertrude Street, so everyone just swamped Gertrude Street there and came down. And apparently one of the only things he said is he pointed at the Aboriginal Health Service and he said, "Get your health checks." So he was really kind of pro health, pro fitness, yeah.
And so I guess, and like the gym, what sort of role does that play in Aboriginal health and why is that important?
I guess with the urbanisation of that area came, a rise in drinking and drugs in all of the community. But I guess there were certain elders who were part of the Aboriginal community who didn't like what they saw happening amongst the youth, and they wanted to set up a positive space where people could go and be fit and be healthy. They had a boxing gym downstairs so they could get out aggression down there. People like, Lionel Rose, who became, of course, world champion, trained there at different times.
Oh, wow, really?
Muhammad Ali was, nearby at one point, on Gertrude Street. And, various champions have trained there over the years. I'm not a boxer myself. I don't know much about it, but I've been down in the gym and been pointed at all these, superstar boxers and in more recent times, kickboxers.
Yeah. And on that point, I think a lot of people are kind of scared about Indigenous history because there's this thing about sensitivities and which person do you talk to and what stories do you go with and how do you prioritise stories over others? How do you kind of work that whole complex field of sensitivities and getting stories and the dislocation that some people have from their stories and the dislocation that some places have from those stories?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question, and it is a sensitive issue for a lot of people. And I think that this is the very thing that stops a lot of whiteys and a lot of non-Aboriginal people from actually starting up conversations with people and asking because they don't know how to engage. They don't want to say the wrong thing, and maybe they have an interest in learning more about Aboriginal history or culture, but there's just this bit of a block there. So. I guess that's what all this work that I'm talking about tonight, these projects, people who engage with them can start to sort of learn a little bit more about the history and get some more cultural sensitivity, and then you're probably not going to make that big faux pas when you're talking to someone. I've certainly made some mistakes in my time. I should out myself as a...
Could you come out?
I'm a whitey, straighty 180 as well. So I should just get that on the table. But, yeah, so I've, I've learned a lot of stuff on the job, and you know, an example of that is just that, you know, in a wide organization, for example, you don't want to hassle the person at the top to get a job done, so you go to sort of a secretary or a frontline person who can sort of do a little job for you. And I made that mistake with the history project of going to the, you know, the secretary at the front, going, "Oh, don't bother the elder. You know, I know they're really busy at the moment." And then I just got this irate call from the elder, whose name I won't mention, who said, "You can't go to this underling for this, you know, historical information. I'm the only person who can talk about it." So there's a really big cultural difference. So I think you just have to be willing to put yourself in the front line and kind of and make mistakes, learn from them, and then, you know, and it's not the end of the world. You know, people forgive you and move on, and I'm sort of now have a good rapport with this elder.
And how did you get the interest, though? Like, why did you want to go and look at this material and get these stories and hear these stories? What was it about the material that excited you?
It's a good question. I have a passion for Indigenous history, and it's something that it's grown up slowly within me. And the more I've had to do with it, the more I've learned about it, the more I want to know about it, the more I want to promote it and get it out there. So it's something that's grown within me very organically. In terms of hooking up with the right elders, that was a bit of a I was lucky to be introduced by an Aboriginal colleague of mine at the time who could take me along and say, you know, this is Daniel, and make sure. I had heard someone recently referred to it as your black key. So
that's nice. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So I had a black key who had the respect and the rapport of the elder or the person I was going to speak to, who could just, you know, make them see that I can be trusted, I guess, because there are a lot of reasons not to trust people.
And to tell your story to yet another person, wanting your story without anything in it for you.
Yeah,
that
that's
sort
right.
of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially if it's going into the digital realm, and you know, not the elders don't always understand. You know, some of the elders you speak to, websites and phone apps and things like this, where you might want to put the information to reach as many people as possible. So.
You're tuned into Lefty Pinkers on Joy 94.9. We're chatting to Dan DeCrew, and we'll be back. I'm going to actually play some music. It's by Kutcha Edwards. If you've just tuned in, talking about the Aboriginal history, and we've got music appropriately lined up. So here's a little bit of Kutcha Edwards with Mother and Child.
Joy 94.9.
Here on Joy, you're with Lefty Pinkos. We're pinkoing it up with Brian and Kath Duncan here in the studio. And we have Dan DeCrew, who's our guest. We have been talking about some of the historical projects that Dan's been working on, but he's also a writer and a surfer. And just recently, some of those skills sort of came together and made a book that's made you sort of infamous, hasn't it? Tell us a bit about this book.
Oh, well, my first novel came out just over 2 years ago now. It's called The Byron Journals. Came out through Text Publishing. It was the end of a very long journey to get the book out there and get it published. I think it took almost 6 years from start to finish.
Well done.
Started in my mid-20s writing it when I was living in Byron Bay in a number of different houses. Of course, like everyone who lives in Byron, you're jumping around from house to house all the time. And
To bed and stuff. And no, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, you know. I didn't just say that, did I?
Yeah.
You did.
I was traveling the world from your bedroom or whatever. But no, I did that a little bit in the early 20s and a little bit in the mid-20s, and then I settled down a little bit and sort of focused on the writing a bit more.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I wrote out a number of different garages, and yeah, eventually when I moved down to Melbourne, managed to get a contract on it.
And I understand that you've taken it, or you are taking it, to the Byron Writers Festival. You have taken it?
Yeah, no, we launched it, officially launched it at the Byron Bay Writers Festival.
And it was a mixed sort of response, I understand, that people were perhaps a little shocked by reading about the soft, deep underbelly of Byron life.
Well, I think some people might have been.
Anyway. But yeah, so a bit of a mixed response to it.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, people, you know, everyone in Byron's got a mixed response to everything. It's
yeah,
a very
true.
Sort of healthy kind of democratic environment up there. So, yeah, everyone's got an opinion on everything. And, of course, when you're writing about a place that people are very passionate about, you know, and that people can become very divided about, you know, for some people it's a very spiritual place, and it's a place that you go on, you know, you do practice yoga, and you know, you don't party, you get up first thing in the morning, and you're very
Go for a surf or a swim.
Yeah, go for a morning swim. Mm-hmm. And then there's the full hardcore party scene, and then there's the drug scene, and there's the sannyasins and all the sort of the different subgroups, yes. and the hippies and the sort of the stressed out hippies are actually the worst, I think.
Why so? Why is that?
Oh, the ones who they're just the most on edge people you ever meet in your life.
I got attacked by one in a Byron cafe once. This guy came in a Jesus outfit, serious to God, and a huge stick, and he started banging the place up and went up and bashed the juicer, saying that he'd ordered an orange juice, oh, I don't know, 20 minutes before and hadn't had it yet, and smashed the place up.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I know he was a stressed hippie.
Yeah, well, so you come across quite a few up there. It's kind of a funny place. It's I know that, I'll bring it back to the Aboriginal history a little bit, but the
Bunjil, yeah, who's the traditional owners up there?
The Arakwal are the clan, and they're part of the larger Bundjalung group. Mm-hmm. But I know that that Byron Bay is a very special meeting place. It's called in language Kavanbar is the Aboriginal name for it, and apparently it has very, you know, if there's, you know, an energy grid in the earth, that part of Byron Bay around the pass and main beach there is the most powerful part mm-hmm. of town, and it was meant to be a place where people from all different tribes came and met at certain times of the year and then avoided for the rest of the time. And what I've found is that
that's just not a bad idea in general.
It's my kind of theory that the people that go and stay too long, they go
weird,
crazy,
don't they? They do.
Their wires get crossed, and they get a bit out, you know, a bit full on.
Well, the local Indigenous folk had said to me at various times, because people got different stories about the place, but it is where the sun first hits Australia, and it's known as sort of sunrise country, and important ideas and big ideas and dreams come from there.
Yeah.
And it is powerful. And, yeah, you shouldn't spend all your time there, folks.
Mm. A lot of sacred women sites too.
Yeah. Those. I was you telling Brian about path, the tea actually. Tree, the series of tea tree pools that run from, like, Lake Ainsworth, which is sort of around Lennox Head, down to Byron, through the sand dunes. Amazing. Mm. Sort of reddish water. Beautiful.
And my understanding of those lakes is that only women were allowed to go to them, and especially during at the end of a pregnancy, towards birthing time.
Yeah,
it was
that's
a special
what I've heard too.
Birthing place, and men could go there if it was after a battle. They could go and rejuvenate in the waters there, but they weren't allowed there any other time.
Wow.
It's an amazing place, amazing area. And you're working on a new book, which is more autobiographical, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I'd been working on a surf novel for about, probably about 2 years.
Oh, my God. How do you write a surf novel that hasn't already been written, like Puberty Blues and surf?
No, there's
surf,
a massive gap in the market.
That
if you're a surfer, people are dying for a well-written surf novel. There's nothing
really?
Out there. There's a couple of novels that are well-written, and the rest are, I don't know, I shouldn't say too much.
Really? No. Yeah. No, that's interesting.
So I'm dying to write.
But
you
what
know, like,
makes the perfect surf novel, do you think?
It just has to be written by someone who has spent a lot of time in the ocean, is, you know, reasonably well travelled in the world of surfing, and understands how the ocean works and how surfing works, because you get these very literary writers sometimes who try and write about surfing and the physics is all wrong, and the way the description
really?
Of the ocean is all wrong. Yeah, so what I'm trying to do with this novel is I want to use it as a vehicle for talking about unplanned fatherhood, which has been one of the biggest things in my life, and one of the most challenging parts of my life. And doing that in a fictional sort of setting wasn't working for me, and so I switched to an autobiographical mode, and I feel completely freed up, and I'm sort of being able to talk about all these issues really freely. Masculinity too, because I think that there are a lot of issues with Australian masculinity that need to be looked at, and the way that links into fatherhood and ability to express emotions and all those kinds of things.
Wow. Mm. If you've just tuned in, we're chatting to Dan DeCrew, a writer, a surfer, and a guy that's looking after a history project, rather, around Fitzroy. We'll be back after this song. I'm going to play some Dan Sultan. This is
nice.
His track, Old Fitzroy.
Joy 94.9.
Ah, that was the delightful Dan Sultan. You're tuned in to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. It's Brian and Kath here, and we're chatting to Dan DeCrew about the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy. But Dan's also a writer and a surfer, and he's written a book called The Byron Journals, which is out now, but he's developing a brand new book. What are you thinking of calling it, Dan?
Toying with the idea of Ocean Sliders at the moment. I quite like that title.
Yeah. Mm. And so you mentioned just before we went to that song about masculinity, I mean, you want to explore Australian notions of masculinity. How? What sort of views might you want to bring into that?
I guess I want to talk about it from, from my point of view, in that I've found it to be a really challenging thing in my life, that I found it quite a restrictive thing growing up. And I didn't even realise I was in it until more recent years, I guess. But I guess this really rigid kind of masculinity that where you can't sort of express yourself and you can't sort of behave all these different kinds of ways. And I guess, you know, this is a surf novel, and so within surf culture, you know, these kind of heterosexual masculine stereotypes are just reinforced and reinforced even more so. So you kind of get really caught up in this whole world. And I mentioned a moment ago the unplanned pregnancy in my mid-20s that's led to the birth of my son, Ollie, who's now, he's now 8 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been one of the most challenging and one of the most amazing things in my life. But when the pregnancy was happening and when his birth was happening for those first few years, just such a struggle to actually come to terms with being a father, what that meant, you know, trying to sort of really think about the values that were passed on to me and how I can, you know, what I want to pass on to him, you know, in terms of those masculine values and how to be a man, I guess, how to grow up and be a sort of a good person and a man, but to free him up as well, to be who he needs to be.
I guess that's sort of quite a challenge to make that kind of fun. I mean, you know, to make, like, I can see what you're saying, and to make that, like, to bring that into a novel so that that's going to, I don't know, you know, be uplifting or entertaining or such.
Well, I think it'll be sort of, you know, dramatic in some ways, and then there's all the surf scenes in between, and like half of it's set island hopping through Indonesia, and, you know, and then in Byron Bay as well, where a lot of the action happened for me. So it's kind of, you know, it's interspliced with probably, you know,
some fun bits or
fun bits, and, you know, serious. And early sort of parts of my life as well, which were, I mean, I experienced a lot of violence in school. I found school to be a really violent place, and I had some really violent friends, and we used to go downhill skateboarding, and we nearly killed each other a number of times.
Where did you grow up?
Adelaide foothills.
Oh, right. Okay.
So downhill skateboarding all over the place and just pushing each other harder and harder and towing each other behind cars on skateboards and stupid shit. And it was just always about kind of, you know, trying just to be...
Upping each other.
And it all feeds into this idea of being, you know, a man and being the alpha man and being, you know, having, you know, no fear of anything and not feeling anything ever and all this kind of thing. And it's just a disaster. So, you know, it's good to sort of keep the fun elements of that. Like, I still love to surf and skate and do all those kinds of things. And I still like a bit of a thrill, obviously, like as anyone does. but I just don't feel the need to push that onto other people in the same way that it was pushed onto me and that I used to partake in that as a youngster.
Wow.
We're talking to Jan DeCrew, rather. You're on Joy 94.9. I'm going to take a few breaks, or have a few ads, rather, and we'll be back to chat about his project on the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy. You're tuned in to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. This is Brian here, joined with Kath. And we've got a few messages from a few people out there.
Fantastic.
We've got a Master Sparkle Lips who's called in to say he loves our show.
Oh, thank you.
And there's also a message saying, Kath, you sound like a beautiful person with the voice of an angel. Love, Johnny.
Oh, beautiful. That's so gorgeous. Thanks for that. Yeah, if you want to SMS us, we just love it. You know, it's... It's 1300JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
Or SMS us on 0427JOY949.
Oh, did I get that wrong?
Yeah.
Whoops. Sorry, 0427. Oh, yeah, I had to read that way. It's those sort of studio things.
If you've just tuned in, we're chatting to Dan DeCrew, who is producing a website with the City of Yarra at on the Aboriginal history of Fitzroy. It's started as a bit of a plaques project, but they're actually kind of going to make it into a website and an app. Tell us about, when's this launch happening, Dan?
Okay, so we've got a big launch for the project, which we're really excited about, happening at Abbotsford Convent. This Saturday,
yep.
20th of April, 1 till 4 p.m. It's a free event. Everyone's welcome. We'll have... free entertainment from Delene Briscoe, James Henry, Arthur Day. We'll have traditional dance, curry markets, traditional food. And it's just such a beautiful sight down there. So I think we'll have a really beautiful day. The weather's going to be nice. Yeah, I can't wait.
And so you're going to have, like, you know, screens with the website up, and people bring along their phones and can kind of, you know, do the thing. And
I don't think we're that high tech with the screens up and, you know, the sort of the
great presentation
simulcast somewhere. But, No. But we'll be promoting the website and how to link with that. So there'll be sort of things people can pick up on the day, and you know, they can scan it with their phone and go straight to it. It's a website that's about the Wurundjeri history of the area. So the Wurundjeri are the traditional owners of the area, as many of you will know. And it's about the history since colonisation. So it's not an easy history in lots of ways, but it's a very important history to know. And the second part of that with the phone app is there's a maps-driven GPS program that links people to sites of significance. So it locates you on a map and it locates...
What's in that area, yeah. Where did this idea come from? Because it's pretty innovative, the GPS, the app thing. Where did it come from?
Well... From me, really, but
fantastic. Done, yeah.
But I mean, it's all part of, I guess, striving to get this information out there on as many platforms as possible. Like, you know, some people like to read in a library, some people like to Google search things, other people like to have it be on their phone all the time. So we're just trying to reach as many people as possible on as many different platforms. So we're just aware of the different ways that people access information and trying to, get to those people.
And what would you like people to gain from this material, from these stories?
I think just a deeper knowledge of this history that it goes back so many thousands of years before we were here for most of us, you know, it's to know something a little bit more about the place in which we live and how people have lived there for a long time before, the culture of those people, language, the Wurrung language for that area. And I guess to just try and break down some of those stereotypes that, you know, people can get stuck in those ruts and the fear-based stuff, and you know, a lot of people are kind of too scared to talk about it in case they say the wrong thing, as we mentioned earlier. So it's a way of trying to free up dialogue and make it accessible, make it kind of easy for people to learn this stuff and to engage with it and to talk about it.
Why do you think there's that barrier there, Dan? Like, I mean, your take on why is that difference there?
I think there's a lot of repressed and residual cultural guilt.
So do I.
That really...
started with Terra Nullius and kind of goes exponential after that moment.
Yeah. And it just makes it really hard, I think, for people to feel like they know what they're saying and to not say the right things, not say the wrong things. So it's easier to say nothing. So there's this big silence, I feel, that I can sense around it. And so it's about trying to break open that silence.
Fantastic. You're listening to Lefty Pinkos. We're going to go to some more music. And as mentioned, we're playing songs about Fitzroy and its history. And we couldn't go past playing a song by the amazing Archie Roach, who has recorded many songs about Aboriginal history within Fitzroy. And so I'm going to play Charcoal Lane, which is about, I guess, the parkies culture in the back streets of Fitzroy.
Joy 94.9.
We've had Dan DeCrew in the studio with us tonight, myself and Brian. And Dan's big project, the Wurundjeri History Project of Fitzroy, gets launched this weekend. Well, it's actually been launched sometime before, but this is the website and mobile phone app launch this Saturday at Abbotsford Convent in the afternoon between 1pm and 4pm. More information at...
We've got a Facebook page.
Yay,
so
Facebook.
It's just Celebrating Aboriginal Culture in Gertrude Street, which is a bit of a mouthful, I know.
Yeah.
But if you Google, if you set up Facebook search that, it'll come up and you'll find all the information you need to know there, plus a whole lot of other information about the history of the area.
It'll go off. I really think it's fantastic.
I've kind of been noting the activity on Facebook, and it's had like over 100 shares of that particular event.
Wow, yet. Already. Wow.
There's a real hunger for this information, I think. Yeah. I've been amazed by the response.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, you're tuning to Lefty Pinkos. We've got to leave, though, I think.
And, pretty soon, yeah.
Yeah, and...
So we should tell people about next week.
That's right. Who we got in, Kat?
Well, we've got Jax Brown in next week. Now, Jax is a relative newcomer to Melbourne. She comes from northern New South Wales, which we've been talking about today. And Jax is one of those interesting people. She's just got a new... one of those Leadership for Tomorrow grants, because what she wants to do is go around the place talking about sexuality and disability. And she's pretty loud, vocal, entertaining, upbeat, and she's also a poet and a bit of a kind of rap artist, sort of rap. Well, anyway, it's kind of slow rap, you know. So we're going to have her in next week. We're going to go beneath the surface with Jax Brown.
Excellent. I haven't met this woman, so it's like, yeah, it's we're looking forward to doing it. We've got one more message, so I just want a bit of a shout out to Anthony from Footscray who's listening to us. He says,
"Yeah, Anthony.
Just so you know, Kath and Brian, we're listening."
Oh, but thank you. Great.
Just want to say thanks to Dan for coming in. I hope it goes really well this Saturday, the launch of the Wurundjeri History website and mobile app down at the Abbotsford Convent from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. But yeah, thanks for your time, Dan. You've been great.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.